he says otherwise. And I think at least you, Rich S., you'll appreciate this introduction a little bit more than others possibly. And people like Robin and others that are somewhat in my age category. It hardly seems possible that over a half a century ago, Burt Bacharach and Hal David wrote a song in 1967 entitled "The Look of Love." And it was those words that the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was sitting in my quiet time this week. I had fully intended to go elsewhere. I have another message in the cooker, as they say. But I had to pay attention to what I heard. And it was a actually somewhat difficult journey getting to the point where I have something here to share with you. The song "Look of Love," sung by Nina Simone, or probably more popularized by Dusty Springfield, "The Look of Love." And I'll just read the beginning verses of it. It's meant to be a love song to someone that fell in love, but it's a love song to Jesus from us, if we look at it in this light. It says, "The look of love is in your eyes, a look your smile can't disguise." Anybody remember this song? "The look of love is saying so much more than just words could ever say. And what my heart has heard, well, it takes my breath away." And the song goes on, and it's more of a love ballad, if you will, to the person who was impacted by love. So that's what the Lord spoke to me, the words, "The look of love." So that would be the title of this morning's message, "The Look of Love." Or there's actually another song that's called "Just One Look, That's All It Took." And that was, I can appreciate that with the woman I've been in love with for 40 years. "The Look of Love," or "Just One Look," sung by Doris Troy. So there's something in the spirit that transpires when you have an encounter with the Lord. Now the Gospels record, I guess we could call it in today's culture, FaceTime. One-on-one interaction with Jesus. I can't imagine how that was, but I know it was life-changing and awesome. But just because most of the time we can't, I'm not saying we can't, because I do believe the Lord will appear to you at times in your life, those special encounters. Just because we can't hold on to it in a tangible way doesn't mean it's any less real or impactful. And so I'm thinking about that concept. This message is about that concept of when the Lord is speaking something to you, as if he's looking into not your face. He's looking inside. That's what the basis of this sharing is this morning. And so each of the 5 points is a passage in the gospel, the first one being Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 30. In each of these, there are others, but these are 5 times where it records the fact that Jesus looked at someone physically. And so I'm not going to read the entire passage, but we're gonna take a little journey down through it, just so you know what to expect. So I call this first point reality check. Reality check. And it should be familiar to you. This is about the rich young ruler. This is also recorded for your further study in Mark 10, 17 to 30. But for our purposes, Matthew will be sufficient. And it starts out here with the rich young ruler saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Sounds genuine, right? Sounds heartfelt. He has the opportunity to speak one-on-one with Jesus himself. And he asks him, "What must I do?" And so Jesus quotes in verse 18 and 19 there in Matthew, "Give away all you have, sell it, and you will have treasure in heaven." And then what? "Come, follow me." Come, follow me. And moving down through this, verse 22, it says, "The man went away grieved," and I would say, "because his riches had a hold on him." In the sense of idolatry. Held a higher importance or higher priority for him than following Jesus. And so the disciples are like, "Oh my goodness." You know, these are men that had been walking with him for a little while. And they're like, "Wow. So all everything we have." Jesus says, "It's hard for a rich man," verse 23, "to enter the kingdom of heaven." Doesn't say it's impossible, it says it's hard. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And this is a cultural expression. It can be explained in a couple of ways, one of which is in the Middle East, generally they have stone walls with an archway with metal gates in front of their homes. And that, as well as the one that goes into the city, is called the Eye of the Needle. And if you've ever ridden on a camel or even seen a camel, they're very big animals. Very much to be reckoned with. One of these days I'll show you a picture of me on a camel when I was visiting Israel. But culturally, you move goods not by train, not by truck. Some of that now, as modernization has hit society, some of that goes on. But traditionally, large amounts of things are put on the camel. And it's impossible for the camel to go through the eye of the needle without its master making it go to its knees and either taking the load off or shuffling on its knees so it can get through the eye of the needle. And so this is the picture here. Prayer, sacrifice, obedience, submission, all these things are part of our reality check. And so the disciples, again, we're just moving right through, methodically through the passage in Matthew. The disciples heard this and said, well, who then can be saved? I mean, is there any hope for us, is what they're saying. And Jesus responds, it says, here it is, and looking, here it is, and looking upon them, Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. But with God, all things are possible. And love does the impossible. Love makes a way. Love does what can't be done any other way. Sounds like a song. So, I believe when Jesus looked at them, he was communicating truth. In verses 28 to 30, he said, again, I believe he's still looking at them. Peter's given him the argument, well, you know, we've left everything and followed you. What about us? What will be there for us? Verse 27, and Jesus said, I believe, looking at them, speaking truth, truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, or children, or farms, for my name's sake, shall receive many times as much and shall inherit eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. Again, it's about the Holy Spirit giving you a reality check, confronting. Love does confront. Some would say it's tough love. But love confronts and identifies where your priorities are out of order. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. God wants in this hour to be doing some rearranging in your life, giving you a reality check of sorts. And you're going to have to decide. Are you going to be like the rich young ruler? It doesn't have to be riches. It could be anything in your life that you give more time to than you give him. I don't know what that is, but he knows what that is. And that's your moment of reality check with the Holy Spirit. What you give your time to is what you worship. Could be football. I know there's some football enthusiasts here that can't wait for that 1 o'clock bell to sound this afternoon. But if God were to ask you, I have something for you to do, would you sacrifice that? I don't mean record the game. That's not sacrificing it. I mean, that's a simple example. It could be anything. It could be any kind of sport or something you like to do. Even something like reading. Do I have anything against reading? But if you're reading, not the Bible, but if you're reading other things, more than you're reading the Word and spending time with Him, that's a problem. It is a problem. That's a reality check for you today. Here's what Holy Spirit said to me yesterday. Responding to the look of love releases your spiritual vision. You want to have sharper vision? Do you want to move on in the things of the Spirit? Then it requires a response to that look of love, because it releases your spiritual vision to see God's reality. You know, oftentimes, and I don't think there's a person in this room that has not said about something in their life, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to suffer this? Why is this going on in my life? Why is the answer not manifesting? And we talked about that earlier. Kathy was elaborating on that, and actually so was Kate. And it's important that we see God's reality, because it's essential for you to move and act in faith. Without knowing His plan, without understanding where you're going, even the world says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. I'd rather know where I'm going. Have you ever not followed directions and then you ended up at a dead end? And then you start fumbling, oh, that darn GPS. No, not the darn GPS. And I'm sure you didn't say it that way either. Well, God has given us a witness in us called the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. And so it's important to respond to that concept, whether it's a physical look of love or whether it's a spiritual love encounter. It releases your spiritual vision to see God's reality. And that enables you then to move and act in faith. Hebrews 12:2, fixing. I think it should say fixating. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And so we need to seek Him for His reality, and then He will release or provide His provision for your life or for your reality. This is your reality check. Each of us needs a wake-up. I do believe it. You know, it's so easy to fall into patterns, habits. we're comfortable this way. We feel, you know, I can operate this way. Until, and I wouldn't even say it this way, Ivan, you don't have to wait for a sign. You don't have to wait for me to say something or someone else to say something. If God speaks to you, if you have that love encounter with him, it demands a response. It demands it. If we say we are followers, disciples, Christ followers, when that exchange takes place, it's not a suggestion. It demands a response to him. And so the look of love involves a reality check. And that's where I'm going to park for today. We have four more. I don't think it'll take four more Sundays, but I think that's enough for today. That's enough to shake us up a little bit. I just would, the other song, if I had prepared ahead of time, I would have had the device, Love Has a Name by Jesus Culture. Love has a name. There's a space in every beating heart. There's a longing that reaches past the stars. There's an answer to every question mark. There's a name. There's a hope flowing through these veins. There's a voice that echoes through the pain. There's an ember ready for the flame. There's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. Love has a name. Love has a name. Jesus. So, Lord, we are imperfect vessels. You're not finished with us yet. I just pray you, we will learn to respond more and more to the wooing of your Holy Spirit for your honor and glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I think a lot of prayer went on already, but if there's some particular prayer need, you can still come at the end. There's something delicious downstairs for us to enjoy, as well as some delicious fellowship. So I encourage you to come down. God bless you.